Before we go any further right now, let's have a word of prayer. Then I'm just going to give a short talk, and then we'll go into a prayer time, and maybe I'll give you a little bit of guidance in how we're going to do that tonight. There are different folks here tonight, so let's start just looking to the Lord. Father, we ask you tonight that you will teach us, Lord. Once again, Lord, take us into new pathways in prayer. Take us into a deep and real communion with you tonight, Lord. Let us fall in love with you, O Lord. Let us discover your greatness. Let us worship you. Grant to us, Lord, intercessory prayer that is powerful, that comes from heaven, that, Lord, we would have a confidence that they would be answered, Lord, because, Lord, you are a God who's so willing to meet with us here. Praise you, Lord. Praise you that you love us. Praise you, O God, that you have created an atmosphere whereby we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain help in time of need. And we need you, Lord. We need you today. Oh, how we need you. How we need, Lord, to know what it is to meet with you and to grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. How we need the intimacy that comes from being with Jesus Christ. How we need, Lord, the flavor of heaven to be permeating our very being. So tonight, Lord, we're simply coming to you. In all of our weakness, we are looking at a strong God. And we're asking you to overwhelm us and overshadow us and minister to our hearts and lift us in prayer, Lord. Lift us in communion with you. Cause us, O God, to come all the way into the Holy of Holies and meet with Jesus Christ. Meet with the Father. Know the ministry of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, we need you today. We worship you. We bow before you. We give you our hearts in a fresh way. In Jesus' name, amen. God has meant for us to have fresh encounters with him, not living on old history. The day that I was saved was a glorious day to have met with God. And yet, we have the privilege of meeting with God every day. We have the privilege of fresh encounters with the Lord. I remember reading about a professor in a Bible school who, I don't know if I mentioned this in any of our meetings here, because sometimes if I go from one place to the next, I forget. But anyway, this professor had the habit of stopping the students in the hallway and asking them the question, what did God say to you today in your daily quiet time? Well, some of the students got in the habit of avoiding him. Why? Because some of them weren't having their daily quiet time, and many of them were not experiencing God speaking to them. And if I asked you the question today, honestly today, what has God said to you today? Did God have a fresh word? Has God spoken into your heart today? Wonder what your answer would be. Would you be like the students who, oh, the professor's coming, let's take the other road, let's get out of the way, before he asks us this question and we're totally embarrassed? And I don't think he was doing it to embarrass them. He was doing it because he wanted them to understand God will and can speak to you in a mighty way. I believe it was Fletcher of Madley that once said, he was giving a session teaching some point of theology, and he spent an hour teaching it, and then he said, now if you want to know the real application of this, come on up to my room and we'll pray it through. And the account says that the students would follow him up to his room, and there they would spend 2 to 3 hours praying about the very issue that had been taught. I don't think that goes on in too many Bible schools, does it, brother? Matter of fact, I was discussing with Frasin, are there courses in Bible schools on prayer? Are there, you know, is it one of the predominant things? There's courses on the Word, but is there a course on prayer? Are there professors who are teaching prayer and speaking about prayer and what prayer means and what about its relationship and everything that surrounds it? Or have we somehow abandoned it and said that prayer has something to do with, you know, it's a kind of a secret thing so that when you get saved, you know you should read your Bible and pray, you tell a young believer, and there's the young believer saying, yeah, 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 but they don't know how to pray. They are like the disciples who were with Jesus who said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I believe that it's often the heart cry of the church. We need to be taught to pray. And I think it's vital. I think it's important. I mean, what place does prayer have in our lives and in the church? A prayer meeting where we come together and we ask God for certain things and then we go home and And we find it very limited often. The prayer experience of the church, I believe, has much, is lacking. And I believe that in my own experiences, just in being in and of many churches, that we need to be taught to pray. We need to understand what does the Word of God say about this incredible privilege of being in a relationship with Jesus Christ and communicating with the Most High God. I don't mean it in the sense that the teaching on prayer has to be something that's rigid and formal, but reality, the realities of prayer, the glories of prayer, the privileges, the promises of prayer, and how they can be appreciated and appropriated in our own experiences and in the life of the church. So as you can see, I'm a little bit passionate about this, and I probably have to say that I've only become passionate about prayer in this way, probably in the last couple of years. And so I was so excited that this was one of the hallmarks of this week was prayer meetings. I was so excited, brother. I was just, thank you, Lord. This is wonderful. I'm so glad that this has come about, because I believe that this is so important and so incredibly important. Most prayer meetings in churches really are Bible studies, or a good portion of the prayer meetings are announcements or going through a prayer list and going home. But we want to fall in love with Jesus, don't you? Don't you want to fall in love with Jesus? Don't you want a fresh, loving, incredible relationship with Him? Don't you want to, oh, I can't wait to pray. Oh, we're going together to pray. How exciting is that? Is that the way we are right now? Are we thrilled at the thought of getting together to pray? Or has there come some routine or mundane thought about prayer? Well, I'm not really getting into any text here at this moment, but and I need to. So I'm going to move on. The first part of our session was falling in love with Jesus Christ, being central to prayer. The second part was the willingness of God to meet with us. And we looked at a lot of scriptures that had to do with that. For a moment, I want us to consider Psalm 27 tonight and look at a practical situation that King David was in and how he approached it in prayer. Tomorrow night, I want to whet your appetite. Tomorrow night, I want to talk about praying together and what the Bible has to say about praying together, and maybe to bring you some verses in that and some challenges in terms of what happens when we pray together and the call of God as far as prayer with one another. So Psalm 27 says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." And this is the verse I want us to think about. "One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he will hide me. He will set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." That's as far as I dare to go. I don't think I used this text the other day, did I? Okay. So, in this passage of Scripture in Psalm 27, what's David surrounded by?
Enemies.
Trouble. Trouble. Now, is trouble very far from any one of us?
No.
No?
I can ask my own trouble.
Okay. Sometimes we do. But we're surrounded by trouble, aren't we? And when one storm is over, what happens? You just get to feeling a little bit calm, and what happens? The next storm comes along. Someone could say life is a series of storms. And they probably wouldn't be that wrong about it, would they? And so storms come, don't they? And sometimes they are incredibly overwhelming storms. And the picture that David gives here in this psalm is an overwhelming storm. He is surrounded by his enemies. That's the picture that we have here. Now, I don't know about you, But what will you do? What happens to you when the storm rages? What happens to you when trials become incredible? What happens to you when it feels like there's nowhere left to turn? What do you do? Okay, I've heard somebody say pray. Okay, my heart shall not fear. Anybody else? I have to admit, sometimes I panic first and pray later. I don't know about you, but sometimes we're not, prayer sometimes doesn't come first. It's often the last resort. The expression that is often used, well, there's nothing left to do but pray. You know, all we can do is pray now. As if somehow prayer was a last resort that just might do something. But I want you to notice something here that's very profound, because David says this. When he is surrounded by his enemies, here's what he does first. He doesn't come and ask God for help to conquer his enemies first. What he does is come into the presence of God and get to know him. He says, one thing I have desired of the Lord. Now, he didn't say two things. He didn't say, two things I have desired of the Lord. That's to get to know him and to see my enemies conquered. To fix the problem. And I know I'm kind of going back over what we said the first time, but I want you to emphasize this, because it's so vital, because we are often in crisis in life. And what happens to us is, yes, we come and pray, but our whole focus is the crisis first. The crisis is everything to us, and the resolution of that crisis is everything to us. God, fix the problem. Lord, I'm in a mess. Lord, we need help. Please, God, I need you for this. I need you to straighten these things out. And we plead with God for victory over the circumstances and the trials in our life. And I'm not saying we shouldn't ask God for help in these things. Of course we should. But David said, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that's what I will seek after. And then he says what it is. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Do you see what his focus was in the midst of crisis? It was to dwell in the house of the Lord. It was to be with God. That being with Jesus was more important than even the enemies that were around him. That focusing on the Lord, that knowing him and being intimate with him was everything for David. This is why he was a man after God's own heart. It was because of his relationship with God. And you know, when you read through the Psalms and you read, of course David cried out to the Lord. Of course David cried out about the circumstances and the trials and the troubles that he was in. And I'm not saying we shouldn't at all. But this is what made David a man after God's own heart. He was one who sought the Lord first. He was one who wanted to be with his God more than anything else. That was the expression in Psalm 51. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh God, it's you I want to be with. Whatever happens, Lord, don't let me lose my communion with you, because it's everything to me. Early I will seek thee. My flesh longs for you. I desire you, Lord. This one thing I've desired of the Lord, and that's what I will seek, that I dwell in the house of the Lord. This is what I seek. I want to be dwelling in the house of the Lord. I want to make my home with God all the days of my life. Doesn't it say that somewhere else? All the days of my life. Where did David say that?
Psalm 23.
That's right, Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because I'm dwelling in the house of the Lord. Dwelling means to make your home. It doesn't mean visiting, but it means I want to make my home there. Isn't that what he said in Psalm 82? How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. How he longed to be there. And he says, and to what? Behold his beauty. Isn't that what it says here?
Yes.
The beauty of the Lord. Is the Lord beautiful to you tonight? Are we so caught up with living? Are we so caught up with the storms and the busyness and the things of life that we have lost the wonder of being in the presence of God, of worship, of looking into his face, of beholding who he is, of discovering this love relationship with Jesus Christ and cultivating it? Let me encourage you to go there. Because here's what happens. And he says to inquire in his temple. Now this, of course, would speak about asking of God. This would speak about dealing with the situations. But it comes after the dwelling. It comes after the beholding. And then comes the inquiring. Aren't these good principles for prayer, friends? Aren't they? Isn't it good to be still and know that He is God? To come before our God and get to know Him and be intimate with Him. Because you know what it says after that? In the time of trouble, He will hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He will hide me. He will set me high upon a rock. The hiding is the protecting. The high upon the rock is the uplifting hand of God. And so there's the storm, there's the trial, there's the trouble, there's the circumstance, but there's God protecting us in the storm. And there's not only God protecting us in the storm, but lifting us up above its power and its strength. So that He could say in Psalm 27:6, and now, what does He say? My head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Victory. Victory. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. The results of abiding, the results of dwelling, the results of being and beholding the beauty of the Lord is that He lifts us. And as we inquire, then we are in a foundation. We're in this relationship that we are lifted up above our enemies. That we have victory in the midst of the circumstances of life. So I believe that's a beautiful pattern in prayer here that God gives to us from His Word, we see in the life of King David. And the incredibleness of this to me is that we are the very temples of the living God. And I think I did speak somewhat of that the first time, that we're temples that are God has come to cleanse and to renew, and that we're seated together in the heavenly places in Christ, and that Jacob could say, how awesome is this place, this temple that we're in. That he was in the presence of God. That we are in the presence of God. And God is always there. Always. We have this incredible open door, which is what I spoke of yesterday. This absolute access to come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain help in time of need. But can I encourage all of us? Worship the Lord. Put Him first in your heart. Take a look at Jesus. Don't just come and ask Him for things. But come and behold His beauty. Come and be still enough and stay long enough, tarry long enough there to get to know Him and fall in love with Him again. I fell in love with Jesus when I was converted. But there are times when my love has grown cold, hasn't yours? There are times when Jesus is not the most precious person to me. Other things take His place, but He's always calling us back. And today He calls us. As I said yesterday, there was a church that made Him sick. The Laodicean church, but He was still standing at the door, knocking, saying, I want to have fellowship with you. God is more willing to meet with you than you are with Him. That can change. We can become more willing. We can become more passionate about this incredible love relationship with Jesus. So that's just what I want to share with you, just a pattern of prayer here that we discover in David's experience here. In a circumstance where he was surrounded by his enemies, he was found worshiping Jesus. How could God, why could that be? Because, look, you know, it's like, remember the servant who was Elijah's servant who had, you know, they were surrounded by their enemies and, you know, he was freaking out and he was there, you know, what are we going to do? And we're sunk. And Elijah prayed a prayer and said, Lord, open his eyes. And when his eyes were open, he could see that the angels of God were surrounding him. The army of God, the Lord of hosts had his army there. And suddenly he realized they weren't in any crisis at all. Boy, I need to see my God is bigger than the problem. If I don't, then my pleadings are almost from a position of unbelief because I don't know how strong my God is. I don't know how beautiful He is. I don't know how able He is. I lost sight of that. I'll tell you, walls, circumstances, trials, troubles, they can seem so large, and my God can seem so small in the everyday circumstances of life. That needs to be corrected in my life and in yours, that we see our God as the reigning, victorious, incredible God that He is. So in our time of prayer tonight, again, I want to encourage us to worship. I want to encourage you to focus on who Jesus Christ is. And then I want to encourage the Lord to begin to move us into intercessory prayer, more at the close of our time of prayer. And I said this the first meeting. I challenged a group one time, try not asking God for anything for 2 days. Instead, pray, but don't ask Him for things. Instead, get to know Him. Concentrate on getting to know Him. If you're going to ask for anything, ask Him to reveal Himself to you, to fall in love with Him, to cultivate the love relationship that we have so often neglected. And then expect God to bring us into intercessory prayer with power as a result of that very thing. God is willing to meet with us. May we be willing to meet with Him, not just willing to come and ask Him for things,